This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
My next guest joining me right now is Rodney Chang Cruz, a concerned gay dad and one of the co-moderators of Gay Dads Australia. Good morning, Rodney.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me in.
You're more than welcome. We have, as we were talking off air, we've exchanged emails quite a few times and locked horns a bit online and talked on the phone, but we've never actually met before, so nice to meet you in the flesh. Now, the reason I asked you in was because of the New South Wales surrogacy bill that just passed. Now, this is both good and bad for gay dads, isn't it?
Yes, it's actually really, really good news for gay men. In fact, all couples and single people in New South Wales who want to pursue altruistic surrogacy. It allows them to legally pursue it and at the end of the process be granted what are called SPOs or substitutive parentage orders, which will mean that two men who pursue altruistic surrogacy in New South Wales will be named as the parents on the birth certificate.
Which they're not at the moment.
Which they're not at the moment, and that's just wonderful news.
Now, this is altruistic surrogacy, and for those of you who are dictionary challenged, that means nobody gets paid.
That's right.
It's all done for the love of it. But there is a bit of a problem because the same bill criminalised commercial surrogacy, that is, the payment of a surrogate mother. And I don't know who else involved in the process.
That's correct. The bill was always going to criminalise commercial surrogacy conducted in New South Wales. And in fact, it's illegal anywhere in Australia, with I think the exception of Northern Territory, to pursue commercial surrogacy. The sting in the tail was just prior to the legislation going through the lower house, Linda Burney, a Labor MP, introduced an amendment supported by Clover Moore, which extended the criminalisation to acts that occur overseas. So the majority of people who do surrogacy do commercial surrogacy, and they do it overseas, usually in the US and increasingly in India. So it means that anybody who's a resident of New South Wales who travels over to one of those countries for commercial surrogacy is going to come back a criminal with quite severe penalties.
What are the penalties?
The penalties are up to 2 years in jail or up to a $110,000 fine.
Now, we have seen quite an expansion of surrogacy arrangements in India in particular. Now, I gather that one of the driving forces behind this amendment was the notion that we didn't want to be exploiting poor women in foreign countries.
That's certainly one of the arguments that was raised by Linda Burney and some other speakers in the House and in the upper chamber. There is always a risk that there's exploitation in any commercial transaction, whether it be for surrogacy or whether we're getting a 15-year-old school kid in Vietnam to make our shoes. I mean, there's always that possibility for commercial exploitation. I think the concern that a lot of people have, both straight and gay, is that the legislation doesn't make any distinction. For example, in the US, the women who enter commercial surrogacy are screened, they're police checked, they have financial mm-hmm. checks, and they do it knowing what they're doing. I mean, for American women, it's an issue of it's my body and my reproductive processes, and they intend to control it. So it doesn't make any distinction. It doesn't filter out those that are actually willingly doing it as surrogates, such as our surrogate did it.
Yeah, I think there's a difference there between a country like the US and a country like India, and I think that's probably what's playing behind this amendment.
Certainly, there is. For
because
some
I mean, a lot of people went. Let's be blunt about it. A lot of people were going to India for surrogacy because it's a heck of a lot cheaper there.
That's right, and it's still incredibly expensive, but it's still a lot cheaper than doing it in the US. And there is that concern that in a country like India, which is classed as a third world country, that the women are being exploited. And again, the question comes up: well, are the women really being exploited, or is this a view that's held without any evidence? And the evidence that we are aware of is that the women who are involved in commercial surrogacy in India are making free decisions about what they do with their body and how they earn money. And yes, it is. Yes, they are using surrogacy as a way to earn money, just as.
So I guess it comes down to really whether one has a moral objection to commercial surrogacy in the first place is what's really at the back of this, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of the issue that underpins the arguments, particularly coming from a lot of feminists. It's quite an interesting argument that the argument goes that women should be able to control their reproduction and not have people interfere with it. But as soon as they want to... maybe make some money out of it, all of a sudden they should have other people's values imposed on them. Mm. And it's an interesting argument. I understand what the arguments are. I don't necessarily agree that they're applicable to everybody.
Well, I think that part of the problem, and it relates to, well, this works in a lot of areas, it relates to the effect of criminalising an activity. Mm. We were talking a little earlier in the programme about criminalising HIV transmission, and all that does is drive people underground and then they don't seek help and they don't seek counselling. Do you think this is likely to have a similar impact on people going overseas for surrogacy?
Absolutely. And in fact, Penny Sharp, the Upper House MP, Labor MP in New South Wales, read out a report from Jenny Milbank, who commented that straight people, who are the predominant users of commercial surrogacy in India, when they go overseas, they'll come back with a birth certificate that has the woman and the two intended parents, the mother and father, on the birth certificate. So there's no need for them to declare that they had the child through surrogacy. So they're just going to go underground. They're not going to be acknowledging it for fear of persecution. So straight people have a very easy way out of this. Gay people, on the other hand, it's a little bit obvious that there's...
There's a
third party involved. Yes. So they don't have that luxury of being able to avoid potential persecution.
Yes, because you can't get a certificate overseas that says you two guys or you two women are the child's parents.
You can in some countries, certainly in the US, that's common practice in most states. In India, it's what goes on the birth certificate is the surrogate's name and the sperm donor's name.
Right. This could have implications for example, if the child does have an Indian heritage, say, it could have implications for keeping that child in contact with its inheritance in that respect.
Absolutely.
I.e. contact with the surrogate mother or the egg donor or sperm donor, whoever was used.
Absolutely. And that's the fear that Jenny Milbank raised in her submission, was that parents fearful of prosecution are not going to be disclosing this to get parenting orders or adoption in New South Wales, and they're just going to pretend that they were the natural parents. And that pretense is going to flow over into how they tell the child of their origins, something, of course, gay people can't do.
Yes, I think somebody didn't think this went through too well, did they?
It was a very last-minute amendment, and it came less than 24 hours before the legislation was passed, and we were taken by surprise by the amendment, and we got a lot of people writing letters, but in the end it was only a couple of Labor supporters, a National Party MP and the four Greens that opposed the amendment.
Is this only in New South Wales that this overseas clause applies?
No, the overseas clause applies in Queensland and has before and since they introduced their new surrogacy law. So it's been there for a long time in Queensland, and it also applies in the ACT. And I should say that, to our knowledge, there has never been a prosecution brought for somebody doing commercial surrogacy overseas in either Queensland or the ACT. And I suspect it would be a very difficult prosecution to bring.
Yes, I can see that without very much thought at all, that it might be. What's the situation here in Victoria?
Victoria doesn't criminalise extraterritorial activities with regard to commercial surrogacy. Commercial surrogacy itself is illegal in Victoria, but if you go overseas to the US or India to do commercial surrogacy, you don't come back a criminal. However, recent news has indicated that law only changed in 2008, and prior to that it was a criminal offence. And of course, the surrogacy boom, certainly with gay males, started in Victoria and long before that. So there's, including myself, there's a lot of potential ex-criminals out there.
So does this mean we're going to see a sudden flood of potential gay dads to Victoria?
Well, we've been contacted by a couple of couples who are in New South Wales who have indicated that they don't want to risk this and they really want to have a family, so they're packing up everything and moving down to Victoria so they can be certain. But I must say that a lot of New South Wales couples are reassessing their options and are going to decide how to proceed.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's only just passed. It's not likely there's going to be any change to it for some considerable time to come. So
no, there's
just got to live with it for the moment.
There's a three-year review period on this legislation, and I don't think it will matter how much people jump up and down and say how unfair it is. I think the response from the government would be, well, we're reviewing it in 3 years. We'll see how it's travelling then.
Yeah, and let's hope we don't have any nasty cases in the meantime.
Yeah, I suspect it's very unlikely.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it's one of those... Yeah, it's a nice political gesture, but doesn't actually have any impact in reality.
It was made very clear by Linda Burney and a lot of people who spoke that the effect of the legislation was to act as a deterrent, and which is what legislation in this sort of context does. But I think they rightly recognise that it's not going to stop the practice. When people want to have kids, straight people or gay people, they will go to extraordinary lengths to achieve that, and I don't think this legislation is going to stop that one bit.
No, I don't think so either. Rodney, thank you very much for coming in this morning. It's nice
Thanks
to meet you
me.
At last.
Yeah, good to meet you again.
And good luck with your family.
Thanks very much, Doug.
I'm sure it's a very happy family indeed. And there are going to be some more happy families too. Just heard that Greens member for Melbourne, Adam Bant's motion calling on members of Parliament to gauge their constituents' views on same-sex marriage was passed by the House of Representatives 73-72. So, line ball, but he got it through. At this stage, it appears there were no coalition MPs supporting the motion. So, it must have been supported by the Independence. That's Tony Windsor, Rob Oakeshott and Andrew Wilkie. In fact, Wilkie was the seconder on the motion. So, well done, Adam. Another step along the road.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.